Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text upon which we base meditation is the gospel lesson we read before and which is at the back of your bulletins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we've probably all heard the saying that actions speak louder than words, that what you and I do really shows what you and I believe in our heart and what kind of person we really are. And our text makes that point very clear to us, to anyone that has discerning eyes as they read that text. If you notice, the main person under discussion in the text doesn't speak one word, and yet she is the focus of the whole text. She becomes an example for all of us to follow. And so we need to look at this woman this morning, at Simon, and at Jesus, and to see in them the love of God for the repentant sinner. Now, Jesus was invited, we're told, to have dinner at the house of Simon, a Pharisee. Now, we don't know why, what the occasion was for this dinner, what it was a special dinner. Normally, as we know later on in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees didn't want to have much to do with Jesus at all. And when they did, they were trying to find fault with him and find things that he was doing wrong. And so Jesus was invited here, though. But we see that he wasn't treated with any special favors or any special reverence. In fact, the things that were normally done for guests in a home, as when there was a special dinner like this, was not done for Jesus. The normal custom of that day was that there a pan of water would be provided to wash one's feet, the dust off the feet, before they entered the home. Then you would have, the host would greet them with kisses on their cheeks. And then they would probably give them a little dab of olive oil to be able to rub into their hair to get it sort of smoothed down and a little shiny. And then they were ready for the meal. But none of these things were done for Jesus. But Jesus doesn't concern himself with them. He's come there to speak the word of God and to show and to lead Simon, if possible, to repentance of his sin. And then they reclined. They didn't eat sitting at a table in a chair, but they reclined on some cushions, usually reclining on your left elbow, so you could use your right hand to eat with. And that's what Jesus did. The feet then would be sticking out, so to speak, into the hallway. Now, one of the other things there, we see that there's a certain woman now. During the meal, she enters into the home, and she sits at Jesus' feet weeping. Now, that too was a custom of the day. If there was a special dinner being held by anyone's in town, in the village, then anyone else in the village could go to that home during the meal or in the conversation following the meal, and they could sort of line up along the wall and join in the conversation. And that's what this woman does, but she doesn't speak. She comes in and she sits at Jesus' feet. She was an outcast, a well-known sinner in town, probably a prostitute. And so no one wanted anything to do with this woman, in public at least, because they didn't want to have the same reputation she did. The Pharisees were very concerned about that. We're told that the Pharisees, if they saw such a woman walking down the street and they were on the same side of the street as the woman, the Pharisee would go to the other side of the street. They didn't even want so much as her shadow to touch them, fearing that the shadow would cast doubt upon their integrity and their honesty as a person. And so this is the kind of person that she was. And the Simon, as we see, was very put out. Put out that this woman would dare to enter his house. And had he not had all these guests present, he most likely would have very quickly shut her and thrown her out of the home. But he's also concerned. He shows his concern and says, who is this Jesus that I've invited in? This Jesus who people say is a prophet. who people say is probably the Son of God, the Messiah. This can't possibly be Jesus, because look what he's doing. He's letting the sinner touch him. Not just his shadow, but touch him. She weeps on his feet. She brushes his feet with his hair to dry them. And so he wonders, certainly this cannot be the Son of God. He cannot be a prophet. But this woman is confessing her sins. She is acknowledging her sin. She realizes the evil that she's done. She realizes that there's no way that she can undo the evil that she's done. And she's heard that Jesus was a friend of sinners, that Jesus would not cast out anyone who repented of their sins, who sought forgiveness from Jesus. And so she comes, and upon seeing Jesus, she burst into those tears, tears of repentance, tears of sorrow over her sins. She pours out the perfume that she's brought along on Jesus' feet to demonstrate again her love for God, her thankfulness to God for having forgiven her. All of this is done by her actions. Not a word is spoken. No one who saw her that evening knew anything else but that she was sorry for her sins. But Simon has a problem. He can't understand what's going on. And so Jesus tells another parable to Simon. He says, there's this person, this banker, and he had two people who owed him money. One owed him, let's say, $5,000 in our money today. The other one owed him $500,000. Now, those are not insurmountable debts that these people had. But in their particular cases, neither one could repay the loan. The loans are already past due. Neither one could pay them. And so in reality, they're both bankrupt. And that's the way our sins are with our fellow man. They're not all that insurmountable, the sins that you and I commit against our fellow man. Sins against God are another thing, as another parable points out. They're much, much greater. But the amount of debt that a person owes really doesn't matter. The size of the debt that you owe, if you can't pay it. You're bankrupt whether you owe $50 or whether you owe $5 million. If you can't pay either one, you're bankrupt. And that was the case that Jesus pointed out here. Simon was a sinner. And he says, now which one of them will love the most? And Simon answers, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the greatest debt, which is logical. And in reality is the way it works even with us today. Those of us who feel the greatest load of sin probably feel the greatest joy at forgiveness from God. But if we don't think our sins are so great, especially as we look at our neighbor and, my goodness, you know, if he's going to make it to heaven, I've got it made idea, which so often is what we have, then we probably are not going to be all that happy with God either, because how can he forgive that person? But then Jesus indicates that we are both bankrupt. The woman recognized her sin. She knew the greatness of that sin. She knew there was no human way of making amends for her sin. And so she was grateful and thankful to God for having forgiven her those sins. Simon, on the other hand, didn't think his sin was all that great. He didn't think it was all that important. And as a result, he has no forgiveness. No forgiveness because he was unwilling to acknowledge his sin. In the end, he's lost. Lost because of his unloving, unforgiving attitude. And so Jesus comes to us today and he says, I have something to say to you. He comes to us through the voice of our conscience at times. He comes to us at times through the voice of other Christians who acknowledge and point out to our sins, admonish us for the evil that we're doing. He comes to us through his own voice as we study his word and as we listen to his word in worship services. And he asks us, do you realize, you and I, that we're bankrupt? bankrupt in the eyes of God because of our sin. There's nothing we can do to make amends for the sins that we have committed. Whether they're small or whether they're great, we're still bankrupt. And so, do we realize that? And as a result, are we willing to confess and repent of those sins? Do our actions show the faith that we have in our heart, that we claim in our heart? The actions of this woman showed her faith. The actions of Simon showed his lack of faith. What do our actions show? Are we like the woman, or are we like Simon? Do we have a clear awareness of our sin so that our life and our works show our love, love through our faith and help to our fellow man? Do we show our love by our works? When men see us, when men talk about us and other people talk about us, do they see a self-righteous person like Simon? Or do they see a confessing, repentant person like that sinful woman? Do you and I find ourselves, so to speak, looking down at others who, in our eyes, we consider to be drunkards, drug addicts, and no goods? Or do we, by our actions, demonstrate that even those are people that we have care for and concern for as we try to reach out to show them a better way to live, a way of living by faith in the love of God? Are we full of compassion? Are we full of love? And do we show it in our life? Let us pray, God, that we can begin to copy the example of the sinful woman in our text, that we can begin to live more by faith and demonstrate that faith and that love of God in our day-to-day life. May God grant us such a faith and such a way of life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we gather our offerings this morning, we'll sing the next hymn.